Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
They get the win last night, 121-101. I think we've kind of said everything we need to say about that game. The Clippers are in bad, bad shape. And the idea that they were a 5.5-point favorite over you is looking back, pretty ridiculous, pretty patently absurd. They will likely not be a 5.5-point favorite over anybody for the rest of the year. Although I guess desperation gets baked into that because you've already beat them twice. But obviously this team doesn't matter. I just wonder, like, is Ty Lue, like, what are we doing?
It's not his fault.
I know, but it's like somebody's got to be accountable.
Yeah. Should be those who circumvented the salary cap.
The owner.
And the old men getting all the money for very little production these days.
Just keep
lying hard.
Stay tuned to Pablo Torre finds out. He'll continue to keep you updated on that story.
Why just blame? They just blame Chris Paul?
I guess. What did anything ever come of that? I mean, are we investigating? Like.
Now, he was pushing back at Ty Lue. He was questioning what you were doing. Questioning Ty Lue.
I'm just saying, though, like.
That's what he was doing in-house?
Well, I know Chris Paul. I meant more about the.
I'm sorry.
The,
I thought you were asking about Chris Paul.
The circumventing the salary cap story.
Oh.
Is anything going to come of that?
Well, remember, the league is still investigating.
Oh, okay. Anytime they're ready to release and unveil their investigation results, we're
they
ready.
They love Ballmer, but they're going to do this, you know, objectively.
Well, that's the
so
thing.
So they say.
You know, you cover sports long enough, you become very cynical. I mean, you just know that that investigation is going to yield absolutely nothing in terms of, like, actual punishment for Steve Ballmer. Maybe, like, a slap on the wrist, like a fine that will be inconsequential to him. And,
yeah,
you know.
Talked about that.
You know, that will be that. Because the story was broken in September.
Mm-hmm.
It's now December, and we have nothing. We have nothing. So I'm not really hopeful that you know, there will be any kind of great findings as a result of that. But the Grizzlies do win. It's always nice. It's fun to win, right? No matter what. It's just fun to win. Even if you're an NFL team that, like the Minnesota Vikings, for example, right? They're out of it. They have no reason to care. It's nice to win. It's fun to win, no matter what. And I don't know where this Grizzlies season is going to go. I don't know if it's going to end in a, you know, first-round exit or, you know, something much greater than that even. You know, I don't know if John Morant's going to be on the floor, you know, for 50 games this year. I have no clue. I don't know when Zach Edey's coming back. I don't know when Ty Jerome's coming back. But I do know that no matter what the circumstances are, it's just never not fun to win. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're playing fantasy football, fun to win. Playing one-on-one with your son, fun to win. Playing Madden online, fun to win. Sometimes it don't mean anything, but it's just fun. It's just one of the great feelings on this planet is winning. And the Grizzlies did that last night, again, 121-103. And in the midst of it, you know, I mean, another decent game for Cedric Howard. Not his best, but, you know, he's continuing to show that he's a steady presence on this team. You know, he's averaging 13 points a game, six rebounds, shooting 46% from the floor. I mean, you're probably getting best case scenario stuff realistically from him. He's playing in games. He's producing in those games.
Yep.
You know, he's shooting the ball well, you know, from the floor. The three-point percentage has come back. He's only at 32.2% for the year now. I'd like to see that go up about four or five ticks. But, you know, three-point shots can improve. And I think he's a guy that works really hard at it, and so it will. Cam Spencer, you know, you find that guy in the second round, and, you know, you look around this roster, right? Vince Williams, second round. Cam Spencer, second round. Santi Aldama was like late first, right? Jalen Wells, second round. Pretty amazing what the Grizzlies do with these, you know, I almost trust him more with these picks than I do a lottery pick.
Yeah.
I mean, again, Zach Edey and Cedric Cowher are lottery picks.
I was going to say.
Those look like they're going to pan out for sure. But still, I mean, I guess the moral of the story here is that I just trust the Grizzlies' draft decisions for the most part. Now, we can quibble about Zach Edey's availability, and maybe that should have been, you know, taken into consideration. But point is when that man's on the floor, this team is a much different team. But it's nice to be able to bank the wins even when he's not. So, fun night. It's always fun to win when you are the Memphis Grizzlies or anybody. Doesn't matter who you are. I don't know if you had a thought to add there, but
no,
you know,
next up is Minnesota tomorrow night.
And it's being priced as though Ja Morant will not play because they're already 8.5-point dogs. So, I mean, I'm expecting, you know, they're already being careful with him as is. Only 21 minutes last night.
So, it'd be nice to be one of these over 500 teams to get one of these in your you know, notch in your belt. But, you know, I'm not, again, it so much depends on whether or not John Morant's going to be out there.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards has missed some time. I don't know if he played. Yeah, he missed the last two. He didn't play against the Kings and he didn't play against the Warriors. So I'm not sure. It seems like maybe he'll come back for this one tomorrow because, again, the Timberwolves are already 8-point favorites. But it really hasn't mattered. Like, the Timberwolves are freaking awesome, you know, because you got McDaniels out there, you got Naz Reid out there, you got Randall out there, sitting here at 17-9. They've figured some things out. You know, that team is deep, and they can guard like hell. And they've revived Bones Highland.
Mm-hmm. Better suited to be on ball than Mike Conley, I think, at this point in his career.
How about that?
And their young guy's not ready. What's my guy, the little guard?
Rob Dillon.
Rob.
Yeah.
So that's why your guy Bones is out there quite a bit.
Yeah, man. I mean, I did not think there was anything left for him in the league. Felt like he was washing out, and he had 18 points against the Kings on Sunday, and you know, maybe that's the kind of performance that will, you know, keep him on that roster. You know, especially with Mike out and Anthony Edwards out. So, yeah, I'm not expecting the Grizzlies to win tomorrow. But you know, that's fine. That's part of that's life in the NBA. You're gonna have to go on the road. You're gonna have to go on these road trips, and you know, some you win, some you lose. But you just hope by the end of it, you know, by the end of the year, you've got a game against the Wizards on Saturday. You've got the Jazz again on Tuesday. You've got the Wizards again on Sunday. I mean, there's some definitely winnable games here. I mean, that's three there. You could beat the Bucks at home. You're probably not gonna be 500 going into the new year. But you'll be right there, which, again, after the first 15 games of the season, I would not have expected that they would be close. They were 4-11. The coach was, you know, having a very public spat with the point guard.
Again, you are not going to be some top four seed. This is not going so differently. You can say some of the developments have gone in a way that we wouldn't have predicted. But in terms of record-wise,
right,
you didn't think they'd be sitting in the position that Minnesota is right now. You thought they'd be a play-in team going into the season, see if they could play their way out of it up to a top six seed, and that's where you are. Part of it is because the floor in the West is so low, it feels like that.
Yeah.
Those bad teams in the West have sort of solidified themselves. Now, there could be some movement around. We'll see if Phoenix can stay where it is, but I think there's only so far you can drop, it feels like. And so if you find yourself in a play-in and then in the playoffs against a top seed, you know, hopefully by that time you'll have all hands on deck and you'll see what comes of it. But I think the key in a season, you know, you're not competing for a championship. The key is to find pieces for the future. And it's weirdly you're doing that again through times that we didn't hope for, didn't expect. But between Cedric Cowher, you mentioned Cam Spencer, you're seeing some pieces. Jalen Wells refining his shooting touch and his offense. You're seeing, again, the guys you're going to need for whenever you decide, okay, you know, here's the direction we're going to go. This is what it's going to look like. This is how we're going to compete with the OKCs and the Thunders. At least that's happening in this sort of 500-ish run you've had so far.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. There's been good in it.
There has been good in it. There's no doubt about that. And again, it's a long-term view. You know, you have a lot of young players on this team. Again, decisions will have to be made. I don't think anybody's under the false pretense that it's perfect. I would hope not. It's not. I mean, you know, we could look up in February and this team looks really different. I mean, that's just the reality. But that's life for everybody in the NBA for the most part, unless you're the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, I mean, hell, even the Celtics, right? Celtics traded away Drew Holiday. They traded away Kristaps Porzingis. Like, and I know those aren't Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, but point is, like, every team has to make decisions for their roster for the future. So the Grizzlies are no different in that regard. And so we'll see what it looks like. But, you know, for a night, 121-103 against the Clippers, always fun to win.
Got Cup tonight. We've touched on that a little bit. Got Knicks and Spurs. What we haven't touched on is how hot Ime Udoka was after the Rockets lost to Denver last night. And something I know is that Ime Udoka is going to have a pretty big fine coming down from the NBA. Figured I was actually looking for news of that fine. Last night, Rockets lose 128-125 in overtime to the Nuggets. A battle of Western Conference powers right there underneath OKC, of course. A game in which Jokic and Valanciunas both fouled out, and you had Ime afterwards calling this some of the worst officiating. He said he called it the most poorly officiated game I've seen in a long time. And then he went and crossed the line clearly in a way that the NBA not going to appreciate, and I think they're going to come down hard on Ime Udoka here. Said, just in general, I think most poorly officiated game I've seen in a long time. Officially, he didn't name them, but the officials – Natalie Sago, I apologize if I mispronounced her last name, and then Jamal Rawls, he said, have no business being out there.
Yep.
And he was talking about, in this case, crew chief Zach Zarba was acting starstruck. You're seeing all kind of inconsistent calls, and I'm sure we should have gotten a few more texts. But to call out, you know, just their presence, the fact that basically saying they're incompetent, that they shouldn't be at this level, you can rest assured Ime is going to hear about this one afterwards. I still think, even with what we just saw, the Spurs, great win for them over the Thunder, that it's one of these two teams, and I'm leaning towards Nuggets, because if Ime's losing his cool at all, and I realize, you know, you coaches send statements to the league. Sometimes they don't mind paying the fines, whatever else, and they still got KD.
Yep.
Like that's the thing about Houston. But if I would lean one way or the other here in terms of the teams I find the more right now present threats to OKC, it would be Denver because of how much deeper they are, because of their cool, frankly. And I don't know, maybe KD brings that to the table in a way that can give them an edge in the playoffs in terms of being that team. But I thought a guy I usually respect, have a lot of respect for the way he coaches, how he you know, gets guys man up, whatever, the culture that he helped start in Boston and is now brought to Houston, but completely out of line in terms of the way he handled this, I think losing your cool here, a little bit like we saw our man Bowles the other day, just going completely nuts, cursing everything else. This is a different instance in which you've called out the NBA, basically, and calling out its officials. He's going to hear from the league on this one. It's going to be heavy. And if he's going to lose his cool, again, something like this could be the edge. Because if they follow his lead. You know, it's not KD setting the culture there. It's Ime.
Yep.
And so if he's coming off as that guy that's going to lose his tension or blame the refs or whatever else, that could come back and be something that still affects this still young Houston team when they get to the end. But last night, I mean, you got everything you wanted in this 128-125 overtime win for the Nuggets over the Rockets. And I think it's going to be more fun going back and forth just in terms of the, you know, the vibe, the intensity level between these teams, the OKCs, as we get closer to playoffs. But, you know, it's unfortunate right now, John, we're not at that level.
Right.
But right now, man, there's some fun things happening at the top.
I mean,
he may cross the line in terms of his emotions in a game he clearly wanted.
No question about it, you know. This feels like, I mean, it, you know, OKC is obviously the favorite, but either one of these teams, it does feel like. I mean, what you hope is that OKC, Houston and Denver are somehow just all on the same side of the bracket, right? Like OKC would have to go through, you know, one of them, or both of them. I mean, that's possible, although unlikely, because you got to feel like Houston and Denver will probably be the 2 and 3.
Feels right? Like it.
So, but yeah, I mean, there's a world where they have to go through both. Like if one's a 4 and one's a 2, I mean, it could happen. It could absolutely happen. That's what I would love to see that. I mean, obviously, both these teams are just top shelf. You know, and again, the Nuggets don't have Aaron Gordon right now. I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. Jokic had 39, 15, and 10, NBA leading 12th triple-double. And then Murray, man, 35 last night. He just continues. I think he's averaging 23, 24 points.
Yeah.
Looking at it yesterday, it's somewhere around there. Just continues to, You know, be consistent and just that veteran presence, even though you're talking about guy, ain't much athleticism when it comes to Jamal Murray's games. It's just about getting to a spot, knowing Jokic. And Denver's just methodical in how they do it. And they get the coolly, in a game that was pretty hotly contested, they come away looking like the cool customer. He may going off. Suspect we'll hear from the NBA here within the next 24 hours.
Yeah, that was unfortunate from Ime. But, yeah, great game last night. Rockets did not have Tari Eason. So, you know, it was you know, two sort of, shorthanded teams to an extent. But, yeah, great win for the Nuggets, you have to say. And, I mean, I don't know if they can beat OKC in a seven-game series. I don't know if anybody can. But, you know, they feel like they have the – was it seven?
It was seven last year, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. We talked about it. Nuggets had their chances and were up.
They did.
And you just couldn't put down that young wheel.
Right.
But they're deeper this year, and that could be the difference.
Right. I mean, and you know
– I think the Nuggets can beat them. It ain't some insurmountable
right
thing here.
Yeah, if you took them seven last year, you felt right. pretty good about it. And you got better. Shipped Michael Porter Jr. out,
mm-hmm.
brought in, you know, Cam Johnson, who it looks like an upgrade for the most part.
Valanciunas has been key in that he can eat up some minutes for Jokic and keep him fresher.
Bruce Brown's back.
Mm-hmm.
Rockets, I would say, pretty deep, too.
I mean,
when they have Tari Eason back, you know, I mean, their issue is...
That dude's leading the league in three-point shooting percentage. Eason.
Man, I've liked him for a long time.
Shooting over 50%.
And,
right there with Cam.
You know... He's unfortunately never going to get out of the grasp of the Rockets, you know, for that reason. But their problem, of course, is that, you know, they don't have a point guard. I mean, that's going to be their issue. I don't know if that was the reason that they lost the game last night. It seems like they've kind of found a way to work around it.
Yeah, Şengün's a heck of a playmaker. I think he averages over seven assists.
Yeah.
Like, they get it done between him, they've made him a little bit more of a playmaker.
Right.
You know, they get it done. But I'm with you that at some point, yeah, you feel like you'd need a floor general in there. They lose so much. Van Vliet upped it in the playoffs last
year.
Like, at some point, you feel you're going to miss him, especially when it gets high level.
I mean, I think this is kind of like there is a little bit of a bummer here about the Grizzlies, right? Because the Oklahoma City Thunder are not going anywhere. The Houston Rockets are not going anywhere. The Nuggets, as long as Jokic is out there, are not going anywhere. The San Antonio Spurs already have your number, and they're not going anywhere. So it almost feels like the Grizzlies are playing for fifth right now, like just in the next 5 years, like the Grizzlies and everybody else, right?
I mean, I would push back on that. I know where you're going with that, and I can see it, and I could easily say, you know, you're right, and we'd move on. But you know, you're not winning this year. You have flexibility in a way that the Clippers, for instance, do not. You are not at the end. You have not gone all in. You pulled back when you traded Desmond Bane. And you're going to have two picks.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you can look individually and say, well, we don't know if Edie's going to be out there. And Ja, boy, he's been on and off and everything. And Jaren. But whether you change that is up for debate. Maybe it what comes back, it changes you completely. But my point is, Cam Spencer, you know what I'm saying? You got Cedric Coward. Like, you're adding bodies and you want competent bodies. Guys that are going to be a part of the future. For, again, what could be a jumping back in, John. It doesn't have to be so long off. Now, there's no promise you will jump back in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you do this wrong. You know, maybe you don't trade. You know, maybe you keep John Jaren. This thing just never takes off the ground, whatever else. You know, maybe it does work that way. But
right.
My point is you're trying to figure that out right now. And there is a way out because of your flexibility, I think, now, as opposed to this has to mean you're down and behind those teams for the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Because they're looking like they've got a lot more of it cemented right now. It might be harder to see. You still don't know if you have the right coach. We'll figure that part out. But in terms of bodies, like, you're going on about how good these second-round picks have been.
Mm-hmm.
Vince is still in the mix. He's a rotation player right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to get to 8 to 10 bodies that you can depend on throw out there against an OKC or a Spurs. That process, while up and down, is happening.
Right. I mean, look, I'm not saying you give up. You still got to play the games, right? But I mean, you got to be pretty perfect from here on out to put yourself in that mix. Because the Thunder are only going to get better too, right? They got that pick from the Clippers. That's going to make. I mean, I feel like that's just not even up for grabs. Top spot in the West for the next 5 years is not even up for grabs. You know, the Spurs. You know,
they're built to win for the future. Jokic again. How long is he going to? It's built around him.
Yeah,
he's among the. He's among. He's. he's only going to stay effective for so much longer.
Yeah, I'm not he's 30, so will he be around in 5 years? I don't know.
I'm not making the case that you catch them, John, but that you can catch up to that mix and get back to a top four seed with the right path, if you choose the right path. It's not nearly as bad for, you said it about the Clippers, not nearly as bad for you with your flexibility, the different ways you could go here. What you might still be able to get for a superstar or quote-unquote, whichever one of the two you want to call that, you know, there's some ways out here that can get you back. And again, you keep hitting on these second-rounders, and Cam looks like a hit.
Well, look, they're
shooting 50% from three.
The Grizzlies may take a rebuild route. I mean, we'll see. You know, if they decide that they need to trade Ja, if they decide they need to trade Jaren, you know, they may embrace a youth movement. It's been a long time since we've been through that here in Memphis. I don't know if I've ever truly been through it in Memphis because, you know, the grit and grind era happened and you know, that kind of put an end to that. So I don't know. It's not the worst thing in the world, by the way, if you go that route, because I'm of the mind that it's going to be really tough. I would expect, you know, this iteration, like Ja and Jaren will not be Grizzlies in 5 years, would be, you know, because, I mean, Jaren's already been in the league for eight. Ja's, it feels like, been on the outs all season. Just a matter of when they decide to push that button. Could be wrong, but it's just how it feels. Again, you know, that's the NBA cycle. Things come and go, and there were years where the Thunder were really, I mean, they were the worst team in the NBA, you know, not long ago. So it doesn't have to last forever.
But, like, the Spurs look great now. They've been out of the playoffs for what, like six years? Yeah. They were out.
They were.
So we look at them now, and we got them up there. But look at what they had to go through. What I'm saying,
it
don't have to look like that for the Grizzlies. And even a route where Ja and Jaren aren't here, it can still be a way where you're avoiding.
I hope they
that
can.
Sort of. I mean, there's enough assets here to completely avoid that fate.
That's
what I'm praying
can,
you do. You get back and it's structured correctly.
It's not easy to go. It's easy to look back when it's over and say, man, that was great and that was worth it. But it's not easy to endure while you're in it.
It would be so much easier to make this case if Ja and Zach Edey in particular were more reliable in terms of their availability. It would be easier for me to make this case that you can come out of this, you can come out of this case and kind of snap back. You can see it. And I can't do that. I can't include them and 100. It's just the nature of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, because of the way both of them are built, this might be something you have to deal with their entire.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Tenure here, or you might have to make the choice, you know what, we're going to have to move on because you can't rely on it.
That's right.
How can you build them, have them as a foundation if they're not reliable?
That's right.
If the availability is not there. But I do think there are paths out of this to, again, something that's exciting and competing top four-ish, top five-ish again. In the next couple of years, hopefully, you know, pretty quickly.
I pray you're right.
You need it in the small market. Well, there is no debating that.
That's right. I mean, this year was about collection of information. We are finding out what this team can be when it's centered around Ja and Jaren alone. Returns have been underwhelming, you would say, and then you just do with that what you can or what you will. You know, you make a choice, and again, I think the availability is part of that. You know, conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, how do we build around this when we don't know if we'll have this? So again, it only gets worse, you know, as time goes on. It's not a tragedy here. It's not like, oh man, what are the Grizzlies going to do? I mean, they have so many different ways they can go about it and you can get out of these things quickly. Mm-hmm. But still, decisions will at some point have to be made if you're going to one day take that jump back to, all right, let's go for being a top four team again, right? Like, you're just going to have to do that. So, anyway, those are two of the top four last night, Rockets and the Nuggets, and a great game in overtime for sure. Monday Night Football last night. The Pittsburgh Steelers get the win 28-15 over the Miami Dolphins. This was not nearly as close as the final score indicated. Miami scored a couple times there late, but it was 28-3 at one point. Absolute putting down by the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are, you know, I think the upshot is they're staying in the playoff race, staying in the divisional race here in the AFC North. I've never really thought this team was good. I've never really thought that they were, you know, a division winner. But I guess through virtue of Lamar Jackson injuries and the defensive issues in Baltimore, that they are able to put themselves in the position to do that. I think they do have one more meeting with the Ravens. Mm-hmm. So they can, you know, decide this on the field. That's January the 4th on some level. We'll see. The Steelers have to obviously do their part to get there in a couple of weeks. Aaron Rodgers had two touchdowns last night. DK Metcalf had one. Marquez Valdez-Scantling had the other. And the Steelers continue again to stay alive. Dolphins were really, like you said, they were just beating up on bad teams. Credit to them for doing it. You know, they looked dead at one point, although they did get a weird win against the Bills in there on the 9th. But the rest of it was Saints, Jets, Commanders, you know, Falcons. You know, it wasn't really an impressive run whatsoever. But the Steelers stay alive and sets up a, you know, we got a couple of division races here. We got yours, we got the AFC North. So, you know, I'm all about meaningful football on January the 4th.
I got to tip my cap again every time I talk about them to the Steelers. You get the win at Baltimore last week. You said it. It's a Dolphins team that's maybe you can tell yourself, oh, man, we'll handle that. But they got weapons. Like, they can run the ball. Achan, you know, one of the best running backs in the league. And if you let Tua hit that first guy in the progression, if you let him,
yep,
you know, be on time and everything else, yeah, that offense can move up down the field. And they didn't have Watt last night. And so you're asking them, again, having separated themselves from Baltimore, I thought this team was going to come unraveled. That's the part I've been wrong about. Want to continue to stress. Now we got a lot of Steelers fans in town. And Mike Tomlin just does this. He rallies the guys. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to stay ahead of Baltimore. I really do. Now they got a tough one at the Lions coming up. But then they get the Browns, and then they get this Ravens team again that they feel confident after the win over them last week.
Yeah.
And the way they handled business in this one, like you said, it wasn't even really a 13-point game. They really dominated this Dolphins team. Some of that because Dolphins don't like the cold. But Aaron Rodgers looked good. He looked sharp.
Yep.
You know, they whether it's throwing to Metcalf or the tight ends, dumping it down, he's going with the dink and dunk, and it's working for them.
Yep.
Is it going to win him a playoff game? No, but I think it is going to win him the division.
Yeah.
Rodgers said after the game, he was laughing about it, that he sounded like he thinks Watt's going to be back next week. Remember, he had that, like, the collapsed lung from a needle treatment or something. I don't think we stopped to talk about that story. And so wasn't in this game. I mean, he's obviously a huge guy in terms of pressure and everything else for that defense. But I have been impressed. Our man Gainwell last night, like, he had a good game. Former University of Memphis running back. You know, the Steelers have just, they've held it together.
Yes, they have.
And, yes, I think they've been aided by a not-so-healthy, clearly not 100% Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. But you got to give them all the credit in the world. They went into Baltimore and won. They leveled things out here after losing two in a row. What was it, to the Bears and to the Bills?
Yep.
I think it was. And so I'm impressed. Again, not predicting a playoff win. That's what that fan base is.
Right.
They don't care about this AFC North title. They want Mike Tomlin to win a game in the playoffs.
Yep.
That's how they're measuring him. What is he? Hadn't done it since eight years or something like that.
Yep.
So, but it's a heck of a job by Pittsburgh. I thought this thing was headed for disaster.
Yes.
But they've pulled it back together.
Yeah, no, look, at the end of the day,
division winning season, it's looking like to me.
If you win the division, I mean, that says a lot about Tomlin for sure. But yes, they want playoff success. It's been a long time since they've had any. And it will. It does sound like it's going to come because the Steelers are a game up.
Mm-hmm.
I guess technically two games up because
you beat them.
Yeah. So does that not mean two games? I mean, now the Ravens could.
You'll have a chance with playing them. You'll have a chance to,
yeah,
you know, even that out. But you're going to need them to lose one here, and right. And they're losable.
Right.
At Detroit's losable. Cleveland, while they're a joke offensively, just saw it defensively. They can make it a long day for you.
Right.
Miles about to break the record, by the way. So he's obviously motivated. And then, like you mentioned, you finished that last one with Baltimore. So it is no given that because the Steelers won last night that they've solidified themselves as the North champion here. They've still got to fight it off.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, like you look
two
at
of those three opponents are pretty good.
Exactly.
I mean, pretty solid. Baltimore. I mean, you've already beaten them.
Yeah.
Detroit's in must-win situation too, though.
Yeah, I
so
mean,
that's
a
desperate Detroit.
A lot of these teams. I mean, the Bills are in must-win still because I mean they're not winning the division at this moment, so they're gonna have to win out to feel good about it. I mean, I think they're in at least as a wild card, but you'd like to have a chance to have a home game, this season. So
yeah, only one team's out of this North's coming out, and it's gonna be the division winner.
So right,
Pittsburgh's
right.
got to hold on. They've got the upper hand right now.
I'm not sure that January 4th will be a playoff game because I'm not confident that I mean maybe, but the Ravens still have to beat New England, which is not a given, and then they have to go to Green Bay and win. I mean,
yeah, they got a tough road to hoe.
Now Green Bay isn't as dangerous without Micah Parsons. Steelers have Detroit on the road, like you said, must win, but then they play the Browns, and the Browns are a mess. So I mean that's the I don't know. I mean maybe. Maybe if you're lucky, that's a winning in for the Ravens, but I'm not sure it will be because the Steelers are going to get to 9. Hell, they may beat the Lions. You never know. I mean this Tomlin group, when they start believing like that, I know they're big underdogs against the Lions, but it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean Detroit looks different this year. Like there's just something about them that the defense has been the real problem. And I guess that's injury related. They didn't have Branch on Sunday against the Rams, and that's a freaking ridiculous offense. So maybe they'll look at the Steelers team like a relief. But yeah, I mean,
it's Aaron, man. He believes now. If you got an Aaron that believes that he can be a threat in the playoffs, he's locked in. He became the oldest quarterback in league history to complete at least 85% of his passes last night. I said a lot of it was dink and dunk, but they're moving the ball. 23 of 27.
Yep.
So. You're getting a sharp Aaron, something that you didn't know before the season you were going to have.
Right.
Excuse me. And it's, frankly, again, a credit to Tomlin, credit to their belief in that system.
Patrick Mahomes had ACL surgery already. So, like, basically a day after it happened. So he's on the road to recovery already. I expect him to be ready for week one, and I assume that was part of the timing. So, anyway, nice win for the Pittsburgh Steelers, continuing to be in first place in the AFC North and get back to the postseason for Mike Tomlin.
In what seems like it's going to be a QB needy draft, Arch Manning has said he's going to return to school for 2026. I think most of us that watched Arch this year after the super hype to start the year and many thinking he would be a guy who's headed to the draft would have said, nah, he needs to come back. But again, I would point to, and I think the last time we looked, there were only three quarterbacks mocked for a first round, and Ty Simpson was mocked at the end of it with Dante Moore and then Mendoza, who may end up being John's quarterback, as the other two at the top of the draft. But there's going to be more than just three teams that need quarterbacks
yep.
in this gig. And so I'd wondered, again, do you throw yourself out there? Arch is not doing it. And again, watching him, you probably already knew that, but you did. You just wonder who's going to rise to the top then in terms of quarterbacks that actually declare and come out. Because we saw too, our man, I think it's Lenore Sellers, headed back. And so are there going to be enough to feed is the supply going to be enough to feed the demand
right.
when it comes to teams that need quarterbacks? I mean, there's Jets, there's you guys.
Yep.
Who else? There's a couple more there at the top.
I mean, is it Browns, bro?
I don't know. I wanted to speak higher of Shadur, but, he did not look good against my Bears.
I mean, I think there's – and then, you always have teams that could trade up.
Tennessee is not one that's down at the bottom, and the Giants are not one.
Right.
So we can take those off the board.
Just drafted
Arizona?
Shuck. Arizona for sure.
Arizona needs a quarterback. Shuck is among the completion percentage leaders too.
Yep.
Been impressed by him.
Yes.
Miami needs to draft a quarterback for the future, even though they are tied to. We didn't stop right. and talk about their situation. We just talked about Pittsburgh. Even though they're tied to Tua for at least one more season because of the money.
Right.
And what it would cost them to actually move off that contract. Sounds like they're not going to do it.
Right.
And frankly, I think that's why Mike McDaniel is going to keep his job.
Mm-hmm.
What sense does it make? They've won some games, didn't win last night. They fired the GM already, so you know it's going to be new GM. But if you're stuck to Tua for one more year because of the money, if the owner's already said that, sunk costs, whatever else,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't you let Mike McDaniel, and maybe that's why you've sort of kept him around. When you fired the GM who hired him, let him win his way out of it. We'll go one more year with these two. But my point is, back to the conversation here, Miami still needs to draft a quarterback for the future.
Yeah.
So they would be one of those, again, quarterback needy teams as well, I would put in there. Indy? You know? I tell you what, one team is going to fool itself. I shouldn't say fool itself. It might work. Into going after Mac Jones.
Right.
That will take one of these teams maybe off the board from taking a young QB. You'll tell yourself Mac Jones is young enough.
Yep.
And 49ers might have his rights too.
I thought it was just a one.
Either way, if it's not a free agent, he's going to make a ton of money, or maybe the Niners can spin. I thought I heard one of the Get Up guys mention that this morning, that maybe the 49ers still had there's a 2-year deal.
It was a 2-year deal.
There you go. Well, 49ers got an asset right there.
Yep.
Somebody's going to tell themselves Mac Jones can be our starting quarterback. Point being, Arch back into college. I imagine he'll have a good year. He was coming on last year.
Yeah.
He needed more games. I think those of us that weren't buying at least the he's the best in college football hype, we're like, well, we just haven't seen enough games yet against real competition.
Yep.
And that's what he really needed this year. You're starting off against Ohio State, one of the best defenses.
Exactly.
Not a great performance. That's a tough measuring stick for a guy who hadn't played a ton. I thought, frankly, the overhype, I didn't think he was doing it to himself. It was us.
Yep.
It was the Finebaums doing it to him.
Yep.
But I think he clearly got better as the season progressed. And next year, you imagine, I mean, we're probably talking about lifting the Heisman Trophy or at least being in the running for it.
Oh, for sure.
With what they'll spend in terms of roster and everything else around him.
Yeah, and remember his grandfather had kind of said he was coming back before the season started.
Yeah, we didn't know if that was cat out of the bag stuff or really Arch telling you stuff.
But, I mean, that's kind of the Manning way, right? They've stayed as long as they have to, and they believe in that process and soaking up the college experience and getting better in the reps and all of that. So
I do think he's going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
I think he'll be NFL good.
Yeah,
I will. It just we tried to pull him out of the oven too fast.
Right. He wasn't ready.
Nah.
He wasn't ready.
Nah. I think he'll play some college games.
Yeah, look, he'll go back, and I assume the Texas will be top three preseason with him. I mean, I don't know how you could be any worse than that. So, Ohio State probably will be number one because they're bringing back Saiyan, and then Texas will probably be two. That would be how I would square it. I think it's – when look, this isn't a kid of lesser means who needs to get to the league and start making the money, right? This is somebody that comes from a family of great wealth. So he has the luxury, I would also say, of being able to go back to school.
Mm-hmm.
And, because I think if it was somebody who's, like we got to take care of the family, we got to take care of mom, we got to start making this cheddar, they're going. Like, if I'm a projected first round pick, I assume he would be, right? I mean, I assume he'd be a top five pick just on potential. Like, we're going. But he has the luxury of being patient and coming from a pedigree of greatness, and so that he can exercise that discretion. You know what I mean? But I mean, look at it. He'll make NIL money. It ain't like it's like he ain't sacrificing here. And he'll also get some reps in the SEC. So by the time he gets to the – and I do think the NFL probably appreciates that, right? Like, hey, take your lumps, continue to learn and come to us with a little bit more experience.
Yeah.
We don't have to work through those as much.
Haven't we seen enough of the Anthony Richardson and everything else to play just with 12, 13
Correct.
Games in college?
Yes.
Aren't we seeing that the guys that played more?
Exactly.
Are the ones you want, the guys that got starts?
Everybody talked about Shuck's age, mm-hmm. as a detractor, and that's why he went so late. And I get it. There's a middle ground, but he's, like you said, one of the completion leaders in the NFL right now.
Yeah, been really impressive.
And the Saints probably feel like they got their guy, I would guess. But, yeah, I mean, the Raiders are going to be in great position to get a quarterback. I mean, whether it's Mendoza or whether they like Dante Moore a little better, whatever, it seems like this is finally the year where they will have their pick of guy. Because,
mm-hmm.
They may be second. They may pick second. And the Giants may decide to trade back with a quarterback needy team. That could happen.
But my guess is, I could be wrong, but my guess is the Raiders will probably be comfortable with one of those two.
The higher ceiling in terms of superstars, Dante Moore. Correct?
I would probably.
Mendoza kind of is what he is.
I would say so.
He's not going to be some NFL Pro Bowler a bunch of years and all that.
Right.
But if you have a run game, if you have a revamped offensive line that's actually, and the Bears did it in one season, that's why I bring this up. You're the number two rushing offensive lead. You couldn't run it for a yard up the middle last year. You bring in Tooney, Dahlman, and Jackson, and you change that. Look at what it's done for Caleb. You take so much pressure off your young quarterback when you can give him a run game. Bro, you have the running back already.
Mm-hmm.
You just need the offensive line around him. And if it is a Mendoza, you can win even if he's not a superstar. See my point?
Yep.
I mean, but I'm asking you, if Dante is that dude, then maybe, you know, if there's some higher ceiling and you get superstar there, well, then it's bonus.
Right.
You know, because you have, brother, the running back. What y'all got to address is your offensive line and figure out which one of these quarterbacks you want, and you can bounce back fast.
And look,
get the right coach.
Yeah.
We know it ain't Pete Carroll.
I mean,
the Bears just did it. They could not run the ball last year.
He doesn't know that yet. He still doesn't feel the warmth emanating from the seat.
Please don't kick this can down the road and just allow that to continue.
Oh, no, we're
you're committed to. Okay.
No.
Are the reports, he's going to get, this is it?
Well, I mean, everybody that I've read has said that it's a one-and-done situation, most likely. It's hard to do that to Pete Carroll.
And that's sad to do that to him, and I get that, but.
The team has been utterly, now you need to be non-competitive. I mean, that's the thing. But even when it was like up, you know, you could make the case that they should like still be competitive, they were not competitive. I mean, I've seen enough. I don't need to run Pete Carroll back at 75 years old, man.
Man, best thing you can do for a young quarterback is to have a great running game.
Right. We thought we'd have one, but we did not. Because you don't have an offensive line. So really the best thing you can do for your quarterback is have a great offensive line.
Well, and we placed three guys up front, the two guards and the center.
Yeah, you guys do what you do.
And we went from one of the worst rushing offenses to number two in the league. And
exactly.
Number one in rushing, first downs, everything else. Night and day difference. You get that done? And that's how you take pressure off Caleb Williams and help grow and develop him.
If the Giants are smart, they'll just draft the best offensive lineman at one if they get it. Like, they shouldn't trade out of it. They should.
Well, you can trade out of it and get you a couple.
You could. That's true.
That's what I'm saying.
Depending on how far you're going back. If you're,
they need bodies.
I mean, all somebody has to do, like, let's say the fourth pick, loves from Mendoza, whoever that is. If the Jets are picking fourth and they love Mendoza, but the Raiders are there at second, then they would have to leap the Raiders, you know, conceivably. The Raiders may like Dante Moore. Who knows? You know how this stuff works. They may be, you know, just trying to make the, you know, Jets give up something. That's the way it works. But, if you pick fourth, you still probably get the best offensive lineman at fourth. I wouldn't want to trade back to 12, even though you get a haul for that if you do. Did those happen, by the way, like 12-1? Have we seen things? Or is it usually like 8-1?
I want to say Bears came and went down to 9 from
– Okay.
And got Darnell Wright. Maybe it was 10 somewhere in there when they let Carolina come up.
Yeah, that must
be – Bryce.
What'd you get for that?
All their picks going forward the next 2-3 years. DJ Moore, what else? Something that's still benefiting us today.
DJ Moore out of it.
And then as bad as they were, the opportunity to have the number one pick
massive.
Last year.
DJ Moore out of
it. It was a haul and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you get that, if you get a haul like that, then you should definitely do it. But I highly doubt somebody will do that for Mendoza. I'd be shocked. I mean, Bryce was coming in. You know, he was a stud at Alabama. He did it for like multiple years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. People talk themselves into players all the time, though. And Mendoza's leadership and winning, and I mean that's what you can't deny about the dude. He won at Cal. Not easy to do that.
Well, I told somebody else, it might have been you, that unlike J.J. McCarthy, he actually threw the ball in college.
Right.
You know, they said the same thing. J.J.'s a winner. He's a champion, leader of men.
Yes.
But even that looked a little bit better for J.J., and it did against Dallas. They should be ashamed of themselves.
2 years ago, he took Cam Ward to the wire, Mendoza did when he was at Cal. Lost 39-38 when Miami was undefeated. He had 285 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he was going tip for tat with Cam Ward. So, and that was 2 years ago before he got with the Indiana. So, you know, obviously the guy has the ability to do it. So maybe he will be a guy that people talk themselves into. Either way, you're going to have to wait a year on Arch. The cake is still baking, and that's okay.
It's going to be pretty good, too, I think, what it's done.
It's going to be a good cake.
It's great the last 6-7 games of the season.
Yeah, he came on. There's no doubt about that. All right, we'll come back. Frank Bonner's going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about his impressions of Charles Huff, the bowl game. Memphis has a bowl game on Friday. They're one of the early ones at the Gasparilla Bowl. So
let's win.
Let's win. For Reggie. Do it for Reggie, man.
Yep. Do it for Reggie.
And no opt-outs, it seems like, again, according to Reggie Howard.
We're just assuming, let's keep Reg on for 2026. If he wants to be with Charles.
Yeah.
I imagine there's probably an opportunity for him at Arkansas for something. But
right.
If he'd like to stay, we'll keep those doors open.
Yeah, I think that's a good
idea. He's huff enough.
But we did give that defensive coordinator job away already.
Yeah, he can't. He's not going to be D.C. if you want to say.
I'm sorry.
He ain't going to be that at Arkansas. I mean,
no,
but something else, though.
He'll make more money as the DB's coach at Arkansas than he will here.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. You know, Silverfield, you know, he'll switch up on you.
So I've heard.
He'll get that job and he'll you know, whoop, who's this? Yeah.
Unfollow.
Did you get unfollowed?
No, that was you. I'm not making
you're
a joke
not gonna,
about you.
You can't.
I told you that's been unfollowed.
Oh, you've been unfollowed.
It's just water off a duck's back for me.
That's right. You can't touch that duck right now. That duck's swimming so.
As it is for him, except what's coming off his back is millions.
No, he won at the end of the day. Like
Ryan won.
Even if Memphis makes the playoff for the next 3 years, Ryan Silverfield still won.
He won life. He won the game.
He literally won the game.
He played you, and then he won the game.
He played me.
He played John, and then he went on to win the game.
I mean,
we're going to have to live with that.
Yeah.
He played us both.
He did.
Like a funky piano.
The only one who saw through it was Brad.
From the get-go.
He saw through it. He said, I just don't know about this guy if he can't beat Penn State.
Brad sensed something phony.
A play actor.
A play actor. Like a thespian, you're saying.
A lot of people do show and tell for a little bit, but you have to get into the arena and consistently win.
Looking back on that press conference, it was definitely theatrical. He started crying, did like the whole
we appreciated that we thought that was real emotion.
I don't know. Was it real emotion or was
it just? Well, he had gamed us pretty good. And what'd you say? Game the system? Isn't that what you say? What Tulsa's doing?
The Nets, yes.
He gamed you.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think
he certainly gamed you into thinking he was going to keep the standard up there, didn't he?
That's
he got
exactly
us
right.
All. With his little RS Ryan Silverfield hat, here handing around.
Look,
but Brad sensed it when he would come in for these in-studio interviews, apparently.
What I would say, though,
we could not.
Brad, as a manager, can probably speak to it. People interview all the time and make promises that they don't keep. That's just the reality of the situation. You say what you believe the manager wants to hear. So, Silverfield, I think he believed he could do it, I think because he's a competitor.
You know he did.
But, you know, he was definitely selling that gas. Like, hey, I'm the one who knows how it's done.
He sold it good. Because at the front of the pitch, you put an Arkansas win on it.
But
thank you, Chris Bracey.
The other thing that Silverfield did, and this is just the truth of the way it works at Memphis, or at least the way it did work at Memphis back when he got hired, is he got the money people on board. That's what he did. He got the people that have the checkbooks and the purse strings. They loved him, you know. And he got him on board, and that's why he got the job, period, point blank, end of story. I mean, I don't think Ryan Silverfield was Laird Veach's first choice by any stretch of the imagination, but he got the money people on board. And when you got the money people on board at Memphis, bro, you're in there like swimwear. That's the way it works.
We'll see.
So, and you know, Huff was different. Honestly, Huff was a search firm. You know, I don't think they used a search firm for Ryan. So I think that's already a key difference there. That seems to be, you know, a different direction. So,
search firm don't always hit.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
So, but this is football.
Yep.
And I think we got our man. Huff enough.
Fuente was a search firm.
No.
Eastman and Bodine. So, I mean, how else the hell are you going to find the guy? He's not even calling damn plays. So, you know, sometimes search firms, you're right, it's hit or miss. Either way, they get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So, we should be search firm people. We should start a search firm here.
And
the J&J search firm. We got heard. We got hurt. So we got contacts. You know what I mean? We could focus on college basketball, obviously, but we'll have to be competing with people like, you know, Evan Daniels in some way, who's now an agent. So, that's the thing. Anyway, we'll get into that.
Congrats
over the break.
To Ryan again.
Again, $35 million. No matter what, he can go 0-16, 0-24. Doesn't matter. He's getting 35, unless he pulls a Sherrone Moore, which I don't think he'll do.
No.
That's the only wild card. No. Is it, you know, if you could get fired for cause and not get it. So,
But I don't think that's Ryan's guy. I don't think that's Ryan's DNA. I think he'll be – he is a 10-2 driver, brother. He's going to have both hands on the steering wheel, 45 miles an hour. He's going to have focus on like Brad. He ain't even texting and driving. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going to get that 35. Whew.
X, unfollow John.
You said it.
As an audio command.
You said it.
Unfollow John.
He won at life. When you get a $35 million contract, bro, you've done it.
Well, he played y'all like a funky piano.
I mean, he really, even when he was the Memphis coach, he had won at life, let's be real, because he got a year extra in perpetuity. Yeah,
thanks, Laird.
You know, so he had already
y'all
won
love him.
The he game of life at Memphis.
Fails up.
But yeah, I want to do that one day. I want to fail up. That'd be fun. And then, like, let people say what they say. Don't matter.
Another failed up, Brad Stevens. Failed up.
He was a very good
college
coach.
He didn't get it done. He didn't get it done in the NBA level. He goes up to the front office.
But you wouldn't.
He failed up.
But you, I mean.
Failed up.
I don't know.
Didn't get it done.
I think that one needs to be investigated.
Didn't get it done. Did he win it in college?
He got there twice
no.
with Butler.
No. Did he win it with the Celtics? No,
but
he's the next Red Auerbach.
They did in the front office put that team together though, and he was a part of it.
He was
so
failed up. He's doing best job in the front office.
Okay, so but you would say he
championship job good, is what
a,
I would say.
A good hire then.
Hmm?
It was a good hire.
Ime came in and built the culture.
He's doing it again in Houston, isn't he?
I don't like what he says about women referees, but he builds cultures.
Yes, it was very unfortunate that a woman was on that crew.
Or
last
what
night.
He did to Neil.
Right. Again,
Neil Long.
That one was a regrettable decision. We'll fix the world's problems when we get back. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Adding sparkle to the holidays is what you're going to do when you start and stop by Robert Irwin Jewelers. They got lots of options for the lovely lady in your life. They got lab-grown diamond stud earrings, 2-carat lab-grown diamonds, starting to get just $7.99. So, you know, you're bought on a budget, you can knock that out there. Designer diamond necklace in 14-carat yellow gold, starting to get $19.99. You can always make it happen. Make that Christmas magic happen at Robert Irwin Jewelers.
A Star of Hope diamond necklace. She'll love it for Christmas. Symbol of love and light featuring a star with a sparkling diamond in the center. You wear hope, give hope. Each purchase in this case supports nonprofits making a difference one sparkle at a time. They start at $199 and go up to $6,999, whatever the price, whatever the gift you're looking for, how he's got it, and know that it's going to be special. You're going to get the best deal in town on your jewelry, on your gifts, and he's got all the options to pay. 12 months interest-free financing, or you can take up to 60 months to pay. Love going to see Howie and love the smiles on the faces of the folks I give those gifts to. Most recently, my wife. She absolutely loved it. I got Howie to thank. Robert Irwin Jewelers. Open extended hours right now through Christmas, including this Sunday. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, always at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They're online at rijewelers.com.
By the way, you know, the World Cup's in America this year. Are you familiar with that? It's a big one. The big in North America.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.